Welcome to Soundscapes, the podcast. I'm your host, Domenico Pontoriero, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all things music. The show, Soundscapes, is on Monday nights from 10 to 11 p.m., and this is the companion podcast to that show. With me today is Stephen Reardon.
Hi, Dom.
Hi, Stephen. So wonderful to have you on. This is the inaugural podcast for Soundscapes, and I want to thank you for giving me the idea of doing this podcast because you have a show, Big Broadway Energy, and you have adopted this format. So why don't we talk about your show first?
Sure. I feel very honored to be your first guest.
Oh, yes.
Now I'm nervous. Just kidding. I'm not nervous.
Yes, you should be. No, you should be very nervous. Be very nervous. I want to talk about Big Broadway Energy, and then I want to talk about some of your other projects.
Sure.
Big Broadway Energy is probably one of the most hyped shows on on Radio St. Pete. So it's to me an honor to have you on this show.
Oh, thank you.
I love the energy that you bring.
It's big and it's Broadway.
It is. I like to say that people tune into my show to turn down, and they turn into your show on Sundays to turn up. Yeah. Talk a little bit about your show and the company and podcast.
Yeah, so it's true. And I had you on my podcast last week, and after listening to it, I really understood how loud and obnoxious I am and how chill and fantastic you are. So I'm going to try to bring the chill energy tonight, but I can't leave my house without the Big Broadway energy. So what it is basically is a podcast that really kind of highlights all the art and artists that we are lucky enough to have in Tampa Bay. And it's not just people on stage. It's people that are visual artists. It's people who are sculptors. It's people who are musicians. It's anybody that wants to come and talk about the art there that they are passionate about. And it's started really as a podcast just called The Stephen Reardon Show, which I thought was a terrible name because no one knows who I am. And I finally got them to change it to Big Broadway Energy when Radio St. Pete decided it was important to have a radio hour dedicated to Broadway music. And so they asked me to be the host for that. And I was super excited for that. And basically, it's one of the few shows on Radio St. Pete that doesn't highlight local artists on the radio show, because it's all either the original cast recordings or Broadway shows or revival of Broadway shows or concerts from Broadway stars. So if you are a Broadway star and live in St. Petersburg, please hit me up, bigbroadwayenergy@gmail.com, and I'll have you on the show.
I love the name Big Broadway Energy. I feel like you very much embody that title, and it's just such a great brand. So
I was a dork for a long time because of it, so I thought I might as well capitalize on it at some point in my life.
And you have your show airs on go ahead and do
yes the Sundays whole at 5 p.m and then we replay it Saturdays on St. Pete Sounds at 4 p.m so the premieres Sundays at 5, and then that repeats on the following Saturday at 4.
And then you have a podcast, which just like you may have found this podcast, you can find anywhere where you stream podcasts. I actually just type in Big Broadway Energy into my Spotify app, and I'm able to find you pretty easily that way.
Yep. Or you can go to the Radio St. Pete website and just go to on demand and put in Big Broadway Energy, and all of my episodes will come up. So yeah, and basically what I try to do is, like I said, I'm really deep in the theater community here in St. Pete. We're so lucky. We have such an amazing theater here. So I know a lot of artists, and I'm always trying to promote shows. I have my own production company, my own theater company, but I'm always bringing on, companies from all over the area to promote their shows. I really believe in cross promotion. I really believe in us being a community of theater lovers. And if we can really remind people that we are a town of theater, in addition to the amazing art, visual art we have in St. Pete, we are a town of theater.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think that St. Pete has done such a great job at highlighting the visual arts. We haven't done such a great job at highlighting the performing arts. And it definitely needs our support. Like, it definitely needs to be highlighted in order to keep people, those talented folks here in St. Pete. There was an artist that I worked with, a choreographer and dancer, who was brilliant, right? And he went to New York, right? So we want to keep that talent here. He's brilliant. So we want to keep that talent here in St. Pete. And I think the best way to do it is to give them space like you do on your show.
Well, it's true. When I grew up here, the only game in town was American Stage. And, looking back now, I lived in New York for many years. I wanted to stay in New York to work, like you just said, but I really missed my community here. And when I came back, every time I came back, I've been more and more surprised and delighted that there's so many theater companies popping up, so much great theater you can go and see. It's not about just going to the Strats to see whatever's on tour. You can literally see a new play almost every weekend in St. Pete, which is awesome.
Yeah, which brings me to the next thing I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm going to gas you up a little bit here again. You had a show, kind of like an interactive, I think you called them promenade.
Oh, yeah, plays. It's called Promenade Theater.
Promenade Theater.
Yeah. It's just a genre of.
Called Weird St. Pete.
Weird in St. Pete, yes.
It was amazing if you haven't been on it. And so from somebody who is not as well versed in theater and stage performances, it was what you call a promenade. What is it now?
Promenade? It's just called Promenade Theater. It's just like a kind of theater, or interactive theater. Sometimes people call it. Basically, instead of you sitting in a theater to watch a show, you're moving throughout a room or a gallery or a space where you're watching scenes as they're sort of taking place, and you're walking through this experience. So the audience moves, not the actors.
And this play was hyper local. It was very much St. Pete.
Hyper local, written by Helen R. Murray, who's the artistic director of American Stage. When she moved here a couple years ago, the first thing she does when she moves to a new city or visits a city is she looks up what's weird in the city. And so she was inspired by all the weirdos of St. Pete, and there are many. And so Weird in St. Pete was so cool. You got to see five stories that were all based in truth. A lot of liberties were taken, obviously, because it was supposed to, you know, really highlight not only the stories, but like Helen's amazing writing ability. So it was a really fun experience. We did it first time in 2024 at Floridorama, and then we did it just this past year at the Duncan McClellan Gallery, which is both in the Warehouse District.
I thought the Duncan McClellan Gallery was like such an awesome spot.
So great.
Because it kind of weaves from like studio spaces to like this like outdoor garden.
Yeah, it was so cool.
So it was like it was really like an exploration.
Yeah.
So I really love that, and I hope that you do it again there. Are there plans to revive that again next year?
Yeah. So Weird in St. Pete is part of American Stage's series called Beyond the Stage, and it's basically either original pieces or local pieces that are produced not on the main stage of American Stage. They're looking for other places to produce theater for people who, you know, want a different experience. And I would love Helen to bring it back and maybe this time add some new stories, because she said when she wrote the original, she had to cut quite a bit of the stories because she had to keep it at about an hour. And so she's got so many stories to tell. And I thought it would be so fun to bring it back to the gallery again and have five new characters, things and stories that you learn about St. Pete.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about music.
Let's
talk about this show. Okay. So you're really into musical theater.
I really am.
So I want to talk about musical theater, and you were telling me earlier about kind of the overture of musicals, right?
Yeah.
And how that's kind of like the non-lyrical part of musicals.
Yeah.
And so I want to talk a little bit about that, and then also about the musical that you were thinking of when you were listening to my last show. So let's start with talking about musicals in general. What draws you to musicals? What do you like about that style of art? And how does instrumentation play a role?
That's such a great question. And I wanted to come on your show, first of all, because I think Soundscapes is such an amazing addition to Radio St. Pete. I think the music you're bringing to our community is such a great way to, you know, wind down on Mondays. But, you know, instrumental music is not a bunch of music you hear in musical theater. It's one of those things where it's a little bit... it's atypical to hear a lot of instrumental music in musical theater. But the overture, which was a big part of musicals for the first 70, 80 years of Broadway, really was an opportunity for the audience to hear the composer's music potentially for the first time and hear sort of what the vibe and their feeling of the musical is going to be. So oftentimes an overture would be 4 to 7 minutes of clips of each of the songs kind of composed together, so the audience could really experience the vibe and the sound. And I just really, some of the most famous overtures are like the overture from West Side Story, the overture from Gypsy, the overture from Merrily We Roll Along, which probably is my favorite. Those are all Sondheim shows, of course, which is my god of gods. And then, you know, Andrew Lloyd Webber does some great overtures. But the more recent composers are moving away from the overture. I don't really know why that is, except I've heard things like audiences want to get right into the story and they don't have the attention span. And it's sad because the overture is such an amazing, like for me, it's like the first song at a mass at our church. Like I think of theater like church,
that's
and
like
the first
opening.
Song,
yeah,
totally. It like yeah, brings, yeah. It brings you to the place you want to be to experience the story.
Yeah. I agree with you. And I kind of have a theory as this is coming from someone who's very ignorant about people who go to musicals, musicals in general. But one thing I have noticed about people who love musicals is that they get really excited about the catchy songs that they hear throughout the musicals, right? When you talk to somebody that's, you know, obsessed with Hamilton, right? They're like singing the song, right? And I can see how somebody putting together a musical might want to capitalize that right away, right? And like throw them right into a song that they can sing right after the musical is over.
For sure. It's one of those things that, you know, composers used as a tool to get people to remember the music and to come back. But, you know, you asked me at the beginning of the, you know, that question about like, how did I get into it or what spoke to me about this kind of music? You know, musicals are magic. And I think for a lot of people, the musical, you are exposed to it a lot of times when you're in high school and you're looking for your lane, and you find the drama department and you go in and you see like, oh my gosh, these people are singing, you know, singing these shows, and they're not ashamed, and they're excited and they're proud of it. And it's like, I found my tribe in high school in that drama room.
Right.
And that's how I fell in love with musicals, because my director, who was this like surly, angry alcoholic, God bless him, I love him, he's passed away, and he's been one of the biggest inspirations of my life. I talk about him on my show a lot. But like, he showed me the magic of musicals, and he was a piano player like you, and he could just play anything. And I was so amazed by the music that was in his fingers, and everything he played was from musicals. So like, that's how I fell in love with musicals.
Do you have favorite composers?
I mean, Stephen Sondheim probably is my favorite composer of all time. But, you know, I think he is overrated sometimes. Or not overrated, but I think he's overproduced sometimes. People don't give newer composers the respect they deserve, I think, because producers need to make so much money for a Broadway show to be successful. They don't take risks anymore. But, you know, I love Pasek and Paul, who are EGOT winners. They wrote Dear Evan Hansen, which was really their biggest hit, but they did the music from La La Land. They did the music from just a lots of different, like, more kitschier shows. I love that stuff. I love Stephen Schwartz, obviously, who wrote Pippin and Godspell and Wicked. Janine Tesori, who is really more avant-garde in her shows. Carolina Change is a great one. She wrote Kimberly Akimbo, which is at the Straz right now. So I like all different kinds of composers. I like even Andrew Lloyd Webber, who I think is very overrated, and some of his stuff makes no sense to me. But he also wrote Sunset Boulevard, which is one of my favorite musicals. So I don't really have a rhyme or reason. Like, if I'm connected to a show, it's not because of the way it sounds, it's the way it makes me feel.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And music makes you feel things, right?
So it does
make sense. It does make sense, even if it's subconscious, right?
Yeah.
I've always felt that the one thing I liked about music is that it helps really drive the emotion right into a piece, right? It really kind of directs the way you're going to feel about what's happening on screen or on stage. And that's what's always compelled me about composing music. I always wanted to be like a composer for like film.
Sure.
You know, and so it's not too dissimilar, I think.
It's your job to tell the story with music.
Right, without exactly.
A doubt. Yeah.
You were saying that when you were listening to the last episode of Soundscapes, which airs every Monday night from 10 to 11 p.m. for those who are listening and who are not paying attention, you were saying it reminded you, or some of the songs I played reminded you of a particular musical that is relies heavily on more instrumental than lyrical pieces.
Yeah, there's a musical called Once, and it's based on the movie called Once. And if you know the movie, you know the genre of that music. It's basically, the movie is set in Galway, and so is the musical. But in the musical, they basically retell the story of the movie, but the musicians, the band, are all in this bar. The set is a bar, and they're just there in the bar playing like you would hear if you were to go to Irish bar. So a lot of it is sort of like just this very, either it's really loud and sort of like joyful, or it's this like sort of lower, you know, guitar only, that feeling of like almost like Celtic a little bit, where it's like you're so transported to Ireland.
Right.
And I'm from Ireland, and my 40th birthday I spent in Ireland, and I was in Galway, and I just was like, every single bar you went into was the thought, like the vision I had in my head, which was these like old Irish dudes playing instruments And that was their life. And that's the magic of the musical Once. And if you're able to see it, it tours all the time. So if you're, it's in a town, or if you're maybe a community theater is doing it, go see it. Cause it's really a beautiful show about love, about human connection, and how music truly, literally brings everything and everybody together.
And we'll play, we'll look into playing one of those songs on our next Soundscape show, which you're going to help me host. And so we'll play one of the songs from that musical, because Soundscapes is, we focus on instrumental music, mellow instrumental music to help people wind down on a Monday night. And I like to focus on local composers, local musicians, but every now and then I'll throw in, you know, something that has inspired one of us, or something that is tied in, or sometimes if a song's just interesting, I'll bring it up. So I think it makes sense to on the next show to play one of the songs from that musical.
For sure. And also we could talk about like shows that are more recent that also have overtures that are different than the big overture like Gypsy, but like they definitely are old school, right? They're like, oh no, I got to do an overture because it's part of the DNA of a musical. Right. I'm going to put one in and I'm going to do it the style that the musical is. And so like Girl from North Country is a show that was based on the music from Bob Dylan. And a lot of those songs are, again, similar in tone. Bright Star is a show that was written by Edie Brickell and Steve Martin. And that show is the same kind of vibe, acoustic and chill. And it gives you that feeling of like, oh, like not every musical has to have like 10-minute tap dancing numbers. Like sometimes it can just be chill and you can still feel something, right?
So while we're talking about this, because I have had this burning question and I wanted to ask you on this show, and that question is, what defines a musical, right? Because because like, is, for example, like a Disney animated feature a musical, right? There's so many song numbers, right? But it's not singing throughout. But I've heard of some people calling Disney cartoons like musicals. Mm-hmm. You know, does a musical have to have like constant singing for it to be considered a musical?
That's a great question. The answer is no. And if you have constant singing, most of the time those shows are considered operettas because they are in more of the genre of opera where you're singing every word that comes out of your mouth.
Interesting.
So like, for instance, a more contemporary operetta would be Rent. Rent is sung from beginning to end. It's based on the opera La Boheme, but Jonathan Larson created a contemporary version of La Boheme, and he wanted to keep it in the genre of that opera, so he made Rent a full, you know, singing. Les Mis is another one that's all sung.
All sung.
But Phantom of the Opera isn't all sung, and, right, you know, Sunset mm-hmm. Boulevard is not all sung. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, the definition of a musical is really just a play with music. It doesn't have to, there's no real hard and fast rule about it. But there are a lot more plays that are coming into the mainstream that are plays with music, and like, I love those too. We just saw 100 Days at American Stage. We just had it here in St. Pete. That's absolutely like a concert, but it's a story in this concert. So I love that composers and writers are getting smarter about how to include music in shows that maybe people are like, I don't like a musical, but they'll go see a play and all of a sudden there's all this great music. I love that.
I don't have like an ending like you do where where I ask the same question to everybody that comes on, although I love that. And I maybe will come up with a question that is related specifically to my show.
What kind of music inspires you?
What kind of music? Stephen.
Yes.
What kind of music inspires you?
What a great question. Oh my gosh, that's a great question. And sounds like it came from a pretty brilliant person. I would say the music that inspires me is music that I hear with more than my ears, if that makes any sense. I love any kind of music, but music that I like, it gets in my chest and it gives me chills and it makes me think beyond the song. Like, that's my favorite kind of music. And quite honestly, as I'm getting older, every genre is talking to me like that now, which is so nice that I'm able to kind of not be specific around the kind of music I like.
Right.
If the song hits me, it hits me.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And I feel like there's a lot more cross-genre music coming out these days.
Without a doubt.
So, which I love.
Yeah,
I love that
too.
Experimentation.
For sure.
As long as it's not AI, I'm not interested.
No one wants AI.
I'm not interested in a robot making my music. Not yet, anyway.
But to plug, Big Broadway Energy, Sundays at 5. My podcast is on Lunchtime Conversations, often during the week, or you can listen to it on demand. And I have a theater company called Dead Canary, which we are the resident company of the studio at 620 in downtown St. Pete.
Any upcoming projects you want to plug?
I'm directing a show right now that's not the studio, but it's at Early Bird Dinner Theater, which is going to be fun. I'm in a play at Off Central called The Drawer Boy in March, and our next show at Dead Canary will be in May. So nothing currently, but I'll be talking about all that stuff on my show too. So you'll... I mean, my God, I never, I'm sure people are so tired of hearing about my stuff.
No, I don't think that's true. So tune into Big Broadway Energy every Sunday and Saturday.
Sundays at 5 for the first run, and then the repeat on Saturdays at 4 on St. Pete Sounds.
And then, of course, there's a Big Broadway Energy podcast that you can find anywhere you listen to podcasts or on RadioSt.Pete.com. Be sure to tune into Soundscapes upcoming Monday from 10 to 11 p.m. to help you wind down on Monday night. Stephen will be joining me and we'll be playing some instrumental music, including music from
Once and maybe a couple other shows if I'm thinking about it.
Thanks for being on the show, Stephen.
Thank you, Domenico. It's been a blast.